This is the time in our service together where we get to partake in the Lord's table together. And as we do that, I'd like to encourage you to open up your Bible to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What dominated your thinking this last week? What most occupied your thoughts? To what did you throw yourself at most this last week? If you were to write out every thought you thought and everything you did from this last week, what would be the predominant actions or thoughts in your life? Maybe it's a major life change. Maybe it's something going on at work. Maybe it's something within your family, moving, changing jobs. Maybe it's a trial that you're going through. Well, there's an unchanging, unrelenting, glorious truth that must dominate our thinking. And it's the gospel. It's the truth of the gospel. It's what Christ has done. If ever there was something to be preoccupied with, it is this, the gospel. Paul describes the gospel and expresses the place it should have within the believer's life. And as we prepare to take the Lord's table together, I'd like for you to consider with me 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. It says, starting in verse 1 of chapter 15, "Now I make known to you," that's Paul writing, "now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel, which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures." When Paul thinks of what is of importance, there is something that stands alone. It towers above the rest. It takes the sole position of that which is of first importance, most important. And it is this: Christ died. He died for our sins, just as Scripture says. And I'm confident that the minds of the Corinthians, when they heard this, they would have gone to Isaiah 53, where we see the suffering servant who is pierced for our transgressions. And a very graphic description is given of what the Messiah experienced and accomplished on the cross. Of what Jesus accomplished as he took our transgressions, those who have repented of their sins and placed their faith and trust in him, he took our transgressions upon himself. And as Paul says, he died for our sins. But Jesus' death was not all that took place. He was buried and he was raised on the third day. He conquered death. This is great news for all who believe in Christ. This is news of first importance, and we must remember this gospel which has saved us. Of all the various realities in the Christian faith, of all the various truths, the death and resurrection of Jesus is the most precious. If he had not died, there would be no substitute for sin. If there were no substitute for sin, there would be no offer of salvation. And if there was no offer of salvation, there would be no hope for any of us. You see, if there was anything that we could have done, if the goal was that we accomplish what God demands, we'd be utterly hopeless. Only Christ could accomplish what was necessary to bring about forgiveness for our sins, for your sins, for my sins. Jesus conquered death and offers a resurrected life for all who will repent of their sins and turn to him in faith. And how gracious and caring of God to give us this tangible ordinance to help us remember what God has done in Christ. The men are going to come forward in just a moment, and they're going to bring a tray that has some crackers on it, some bread, and has some cups of juice on it. And we know that this bread and this juice, they don't have some special power in and of themselves, but they signify something that must remain precious to us, and that is the body of our Savior and the bread, which was crushed and broken as he took our punishment. And the cup represents the blood of our Savior, which was spilt and shed upon the cross so that we might have forgiveness of sins. This is a good time to examine yourself. This is a good time to remember that it is by faith alone and grace alone that we are saved. If you had a horrible week this week and walking in obedience to Christ, you need to remember. You need to take the bread and you need to take the cup and you need to repent where there's known sin in your life and remember what Christ has accomplished. It is precious to us because in him we have forgiveness of sins. And we need to begin the path of repentance, not out of duty to reconcile ourselves to him, but out of delight because we've experienced his unmerited grace and kindness. And we want to respond in love and obedience because of the love that we've received from him. This is a time for believers to remember what their Savior has done. And so, naturally, if you do not believe in Christ, if he is not your Savior, then what our first desire would be is that you would repent this morning, that you would turn to Christ, that he would become what he is not currently for you, and that is your Lord and Savior and Master and King and friend. That you would turn to him and that you would take and you would remember with us what Christ has accomplished. If you refuse, if you will not do that, then we simply ask that when they pass out the bread and the cup, just let it pass by, as this is a time that is really a family time for believers, anyone who is in Christ. So the men are going to come forward and they're going to serve the bread and the cup, and we must remember our great Savior. We must set at the forefront of our hearts and our minds what is of first importance, and that is Christ and his death and his burial and his resurrection, so that we might have forgiveness of sins and new life in him. So men, come serve. When your heart is prepared, you can take the bread and the cup on your own this morning.